Hi again, I'm Yuki. I use they, them pronouns and I work at Nokia. And this is Telco Pride. This is our third episode. The short version is that we're a bunch of LGBTQ+ people and allies from across the telecoms industry. We are the companies that run the networks, the ones that build them, and the suppliers who build them with them. We compete on nearly everything, but not on this. The first time, we ask what it feels like to be yourself, to be out at work. Then, we follow that question online, where a lot of us meet first. This time, we walk it back into the building, into the workplace itself. Because almost every company will tell you it's inclusive. There's a values page, laws against discrimination, a code of conduct everyone reads at least once and never opens again. And then there's the coffee machine, where you find out what people actually think. Inclusive on paper and safe enough to be yourself at work turn out to be two very different things. And the gap between them often comes down to one person, whoever you report to. I'm not hosting this one. Emma is. She runs culture and inclusion at Ericsson, so she's asking the questions this time. And she's brought two people who have had to do this, not just have an opinion about it. Marlena at Telenor, who thinks about leadership for a living, and Karen in Norway, a manager and, her word, an ally. With that, that's enough from me. Here's the conversation.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of our Telco Pride podcast. We're so excited to have you here for this conversation. My name's Emma Birchall. I'm Global Head of Culture and Inclusion at Ericsson. And I'm really pleased to be joined by Marlena and Karen today to have a conversation about many different topics, but one that I think is so important to everyday working life, which is, what does it feel like and what does it mean if perhaps we don't feel comfortable coming out? Perhaps we're in an organization where people feel it's inclusive, but we don't necessarily feel actually it's okay for me to come out. Or maybe there's a personal preference of keeping our identity separate. It's a tricky one, and I'm really looking forward to hearing the perspectives of our guests. So before we get into the detailed conversation, I'm going to hand over to our wonderful guests to share a bit more about who they are, why they're here, and the perspective that they're going to bring into the conversation. And Marlena, I'll start with you.
Thanks, Emma. I'm Marlena Sophia, and I work at the fantastic company Telenor, where I am proud to be the head of global leadership and personal development. And I'm really excited to be here because it's a topic close to my heart. I think it correlates very well with my personal values of who I am in this world and what I believe in. And what do I believe in? I believe in love and compassion. That is my religion. And religion is a large thing, but I used to be Christian. But the church here where I live refused to marry a gay couple and refused to have a funeral for a gay woman. And that made me think about who I am, what I believe in, and what I want to commit to. So it turned into my religion is now love and compassion. So this is a topic that's very close to my heart.
Wonderful. And Karen, over to you.
Thank you so much for having me, Emma. My name is Karen Yanaba, and I'm a marketing manager in Gornstable, which is the technology group in Norway, and one of the partners of Telia, also a company. I think I should begin by saying that I'm a cis woman, and I am a bro. So it is important for me to state early on that I am not speaking on this subject on behalf of the LGBTQ+ community, but as an ally. And especially this during when I have been seeing so much polarization and people comments on social media, it makes me want to level up my agenda even more. I've had different levels of leadership roles in the last 14 years, both in the tech industry and previously in hospitality. And an experience I had that me and you really want to share in this episode is I wanted to promote a person at my workplace, and he was open, and my leader was very much against it, with no real arguments other than personality traits. So that made me curious, and I fought for him to be promoted anyway, and I got my way. And he is a leader today, and he has been a leader ever since. And wonderful as well.
Thanks for sharing that, Karen. And I think that point on personality traits reminds me a bit sometimes of culture fit, where we used to use the term culture fit a lot. And of course, there is relevance to that. We all have organizations with values and we want to uphold those. But there are so many words and phrases that can conceal other things. So I think that's a great point to bring up so early on in the conversation. And also to mention my own identity. So I'm also a heterosexual woman. My pronouns are she, hers. So I'm also speaking very much as an ally and very grateful to be included in this community call. So Karen, I'm going to start with you on a really important question. So actually, it reminded me of sometimes when I speak to friends, they'll say, especially they're working in very small offices or small companies, they'll say, actually, there aren't any gay people in my organization. And I always think, I think they probably are, statistically, then they may well be. And that's an interesting one to delve into. What's your view on in workplaces where perhaps people think there are few or no people who are out? What should leaders be paying attention to?
It's actually interesting because my current company, that's the situation that no one open or out. Statistically, that doesn't really check out. So then I think we need to get curious about or pray instead of prying into each other's personal life, which we often do by the coffee machine. We ask very personal questions as icebreakers. We ask about relationship status, what did you do this weekend, everything with good intentions usually. But still, these type of questions doesn't really help create a safe environment for someone who is not feeling all safe or willing to share a very part of life. We do have laws against discrimination in Norway and in EU, of course, and we have grand values on our webpage about being yourself, most of the companies everywhere. And we have a code of conduct document that everyone reads during their onboarding and never again. So I do feel like there needs to be more everyday small action. And that begins with leaders. We need to be a good role model, which is a cliche, but it's a cliche that works. So we have to ask ourselves, do I realize that saying yes to a manager role also means saying yes to take on responsibility for the safety of everyone working in this office? That means also, do I really need to know who someone is leading to treat them fairly? What signals are we giving in the office, even if it's unintentionally? What kind of behavior is rewarded here? And are some behavior not? Do we address inappropriate behavior? And who feels like they fit in without having to think about it? I think those are very important questions for any leader, even if you don't know the identity or the personal things about an employee, you still need to regard everyone part of your team and for your team, not the great safety regimen. So the small things like, what language are we using? Are we using a neutral language? Do we say the word partner maybe instead of a senior girlfriend? So assumptions being made is also something to be aware of. And how does personal conversation happen? Like, even if you have the code of conduct, everybody signed it, everybody read it in their first week at work, what do they actually talk about around the coffee machine? So if you suddenly hear very blatant statements about gender or all the other polarizing topics out there, then as a leader, it is your responsibility to go in and address it calmly but firmly, I believe. Ask yourself, do I need more competence within inclusivity? Then there are sources you can go to. In Norway, there you have the Pink Kompetanse, like Rosa Kompetanse, and Bufdir. They offer free courses available to anyone about discrimination and invisible.
Thanks so much. And I think you've raised such an important point there of even very well-intended leaders may feel conflicted as to how can I be inclusive without being intrusive? I don't want to ask employees directly about their personal identities and their life outside of work, if that might be something they don't want to talk about or don't want to share. But likewise, I want to make sure I'm having an environment where people can share openly. So that point around thinking about how they have conversations, the language they use every day, inclusive language, like partners, not making those assumptions that someone has a girlfriend or a boyfriend, they are really powerful. And also that this is a competence. So if you're sitting here as a leader listening to this podcast thinking, I still don't really know how I do this, don't worry. It's the same as learning how to use AI or learning how to do any new skill. There are resources. This is something you learn. It doesn't necessarily come naturally to everyone to know how to respond in a certain way. And in fact, sometimes the more confident you are, you might overlook some of your own biases or your own sort of pitfalls. So it's good to be curious and to think, actually, I'm coming to this from a place of needing to learn and needing to understand more. So really great point. And thank you for sharing those resources that are available. Marlena, is there anything that you'd like to add to this point?
Yes, absolutely. I was listening with big ears, Karen, to what you were saying. And you used the word responsibility. And I love this word in this context as well, because if we split it up and say ability to respond, and that is what leaders and every employee in an organization have. We all have a responsibility to be allies, to look out for our biases. We have this very inclusive language. So quite like that. And back to your beginning, Emma, when you talked about cultural fit, something that we are very focused on, and especially in recruitment, but also when we work with high-performing teams, is instead of thinking cultural fit, thinking cultural add. Because if we look from a business lens, high performance doesn't come from diversity. It comes from diversity and inclusion. Otherwise, we won't get those great results and that great performance. And at the same time, where people thrive, where they feel like they belong and they can contribute and be a part of something that has a greater purpose.
And I think people notice these things. So the example you gave of going to promote someone and there being some sort of pushback that seemed a little bit suspicious, quite termed in personality traits, people notice this stuff. They see who gets promoted, they see who doesn't get promoted, partly to learn what kind of behaviours are awarded here, do I need to be here, is presenteeism what I need to do, but also of course it applies to how much of oneself we share in the organisation. So perhaps then if we think about leaders, Marlena, what kind of practical advice would you give to leaders who want to be more inclusive but don't really know where to start with this because they don't want to get it wrong? And the penalty for getting this wrong does feel quite high. I can understand why leaders may be cautious or think that, you know what, better I just don't touch this subject. So what advice would you give them to do this confidently?
Yeah, I have several, and something that we are really supporting and developing our leaders in. But if you're a leader listening in, I think it is to start with what Karen said, educate yourself, flex up on curiosity, whether it is using those brilliant courses that you shared or whether it is reading some books like Pony Malhotra, who has written amazing books in here, especially one of the last ones, Can I Say That? In the book on allyship and biases. So really educate yourself, continue to learn and be a learner. And get a buddy to help raise your self-awareness. So have a bias buddy, someone that you trust, whether in your management team or whomever, that can call you out and say, hey, you used that word. Or when you made that decision, did you realize what that signals in the organization? Or are you aware of what happened here? Or so you have someone who's your buddy who can help you out. Because if you have a brain, you have biases. And those blind spots are what can be the barrier for creating this inclusive environment that we really want to have in our organizations. And another part is to expand your circle. If you look at yourself as a leader and say, hey, who do you go to advice to? Or who do you spend most time to? How diverse is that group really? And is there any minorities in that group, in your inner circle? And if not, then it's really time for you to get out there and build networks that is beyond that circle that you already have. So you again can flex up on curiosity, so you can learn and you can experience and you can work on your compassion and your empathy. And the last thing, be an ally. It is really to stand up. It is to have a voice for all. It is when these microaggressions or comments or behaviors that comes out that are not okay, that you stand up and saying, hey, that is not okay. That is not how we communicate here. That is not how we behave here. And you can do it calmly. You can do it respectfully. You could do it one-on-one. But sometimes it also sends a signal. When you do it well, the team is there when you're seeing it, because that sends a signal that you're being serious about this. And that kind of communication or comments, whatever it might be, is not part of how we want to operate as a team. So be an ally, I think, is the biggest one. And that's not just for leaders. That is for all of us in the companies we work at, but also in our private lives.
I love that point. And being an ally is an active thing. It's a verb almost. I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm an ally. I don't. Of course, my views and my values are consistent with supporting people from the LGBTQ+ community and many different communities. But it's not simply a case of just having that internal, intrinsic feeling of supporting people, but actually doing something, looking for those opportunities. Karen, anything that you would like to add to this? How can leaders be more inclusive on this topic?
I just think this was such a wonderful point made by Marlena. I have unfortunately experience with the jokes that you mentioned, told around the office partially, and not understanding how harmful they actually can be. The response is always, my freedom of speech is threatened if I'm not allowed to make these jokes anymore. And my response to that is more, no, what is threatened is your ability to grow and innovate, because you are missing out on so much beauty and opportunity. I usually say that all the straight people, if we were all by ourselves and the world is a buffet, we are at the end eating garlic bread and we are missing out on all the wonderful options that are up.
And I'd add to that on the point of free speech. We are all bringing our professional selves to our organizations. We all think about what we say in organizations, I would think, in a way that we don't necessarily with our friends or in different environments. We all bring our professional selves. So it's just part of being a professional person to also be inclusive and to think about the language we use to not exclude people so that they can also be themselves and be their best in the organization. So on your point around making jokes, there are lots of things that we don't accept in organizations because we have a set of organizational values that we expect people to adhere to. I think it's a good reminder. So if you were to suggest that our listeners could do one thing next week, what would it be? And just while you think about what that one thing might be, I'll share mine, which is you may be in an organization thinking, actually, yeah, great point that Marlena made about expanding my network. I don't think I know any out gay employees in my company or colleagues. How would I even begin to start building that network? Certainly at Ericsson, and I'm sure in many other organizations, we have employee resource groups that are open to everyone. So even if you are not identifying as a member of the LGBTQ+ community, as long as you're an ally and going in with the right set of values, going in to learn and to listen, our employee resource groups love to have people come and join and be part of their events. Karen, what action would you suggest that people can take to think about this more and to be better allies, better leaders?
If it's about the next week in Norway, there's actually a whole prize for it. So that would be a big step probably for Nani. But I think just wearing a rainbow bracelet at work, but also if you are recruiting, wear it just to show, wow, this is a safe space. This is an open place if you want to. And also, I think it would scare away candidates in the interview process that are uncomfortable or working in an inclusive environment. So it works both ways, I think.
Yes, I already gave a list of advice, but if I could add something to it next week, of course, you got to go to Pride. Absolutely. Telenor will be there as well. So go and have a great time there. However, going to work next week, how about you ask your team members in your one-on-ones, how can I lead you better? What do you need from me from your leader so that you can thrive here, you can perform here, you feel like you belong here? How can I be the best leader for you? Is there something that I'm currently doing or not doing? And then as a leader, flex up on your own vulnerability. And that doesn't mean that you put it all out there, but it is to start to flex up a bit and open up towards your team members as well for whatever you feel like you can flex up on. So they feel more that they can be themselves at work. So grabbing the opportunities of those one-to-ones to really create trust through curiosity and inclusiveness.
Thank you. Some great tips there. And I think with that, we've come to the end of our time. Thank you so much for joining us, Marlena and Karin. I think you've shared some really amazing perspectives and advice. And thank you to all of our listeners. I hope this conversation has given you some new perspectives, perhaps, but also made you feel a bit more safe, whether you're part of the community or an ally, to engage with this topic in an organizational setting. It can be scary. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to get things wrong. But not engaging at all is perhaps the worst choice of all. It's a skill. So there are ways to upskill. There are ways to get more confident. This can be fun. It doesn't have to be super scary. It really is about humans. And Marlena, that point around how can I be a better leader is such a nice one to end on, because this is just about being a great leader, a great colleague, and enabling everyone to be their very best. And with that, we'll close.